Namaste and welcome to the Phases podcast. I'm so thrilled to start season two with you. This is a space that's all about navigating life's phases, and especially the ones that push us to grow and step into our power. Season two is going to revolve around empowered aging. And all that this means is to gain the confidence to live your full potential, because I don't think that everyone lives it. But all I'm trying to do is to share ideas, yoga wisdom, modern science that can hopefully support you to reach the highest vision that you have of yourself, and owning your strength on all levels of your human being. And perhaps there's a need to redefine what it means to thrive as you get older. I have so much wisdom to share with you in season two with very inspiring guests. But for today, you have me. And today we're going to talk about owning your power in midlife and beyond. I think that we can always grow, we can always improve, we can always go deeper and learn more about ourselves, no matter what age it is that we are. So today, when I launched season two, it's a new moon in Pisces. So the new moon, as you probably know, is the start of a new lunar cycle. So it's about a new beginning. And I love new beginnings. I really think you can begin anew any day, really. It doesn't have to be a Monday. It doesn't have to be a new moon. It could be at noon. If you found that you didn't have good morning, you could begin again right in the middle of the day. It really doesn't matter. It just allows you to start again, right? And we, as we get older, we're always starting again with the wisdom that we have gained so far in life. And the Pisces that the new moon is in is the final sign of the zodiac. And it is coming here to really help us to wrap up the end of the astrological year and to move into another astrological year. It feels like I am wrapping up an old phase of who I was before, what I used to do before. But at the same time, I feel like I'm moving into a new phase, like a next phase that I'm building upon that previous phase. I'm not an expert in astrology at all. I do kind of follow it a little bit in the back of my head, but mostly what I do is I follow the moon phases. Like, I'm very in close contact with the energy of the moon, and I'm also very in close contact with my own energy and my own intuition. And when I follow my own inner knowing, as we call it in yoga, my own intuition, I always end up in the right place, on time, so to speak. So I didn't really plan to start this season two on New Moon. I actually had tried to plan it a couple of weeks ago, the latest last week, but that just didn't happen. And then I started to feel like it was all coming together, and it so happens to be a New Moon. So to me, that is just on time. But I am definitely feeling a shift coming, and I'm here for it. Just let me tell you, I'm here with open arms. Just bring it on. Bring it on. So this is a new moon that is asking us to become really active participants in the unfolding of our soul's journey. And the fish symbolizes flow. So the fishes are flowing in the water, And in yoga wisdom, the water is a representation of our emotions. And our emotions often cloud our judgments. I don't feel like doing a strength training practice today. We can often say to ourselves, I don't feel like getting onto that yoga mat. But that is exactly what yoga is teaching us, is to become aware of our emotions, become aware of our thoughts and what our thoughts and emotions are telling us. And we don't have to act upon those emotions or those thoughts. And that's what we have to become very, very aware of. So if for days you don't feel like doing your yoga practice or your strength training routine, that is, of course, going to have consequences. So midlife and this time in our life is a very, very important time to become very aware of our emotions and become very aware of our thoughts, because days and weeks and months can go by without us taking care of our physical body. And then, of course, later down the line, that can have consequences in muscle loss, in bone loss. So it's not to make you feel bad if you're in that phase where you feel low energy, or, you know, you feel like things are not going your way and you feel overwhelmed. This is a time to just sit back and reflect. I was in that phase for a long time too, where I was stuck. It was very dark and I felt super anxious and very, very overwhelmed. But even in that moment, I had to say, all right, well, I have to get on my mat. I have to do my strength training, because if I don't, it's going to have consequences. That is just the reality of it. And it's like these two fishes that symbolizes the Pisces. I often think of the yin and the yang, or in yoga, we call it the sukha and the sthira. We need that sthira, we need that stability, that groundedness of a steady, consistent practice in order to find our flow, to find the ease, and to find the joy. And then as we practice consistently over time, we become very aware of our thoughts, of our emotions, and we can sort of snap out of it. We can catch ourselves when we start to fall down the rabbit hole, right? Or we get into the spiral of being consumed with how it is that we're feeling. And all of this is a yoga practice. It is a practice of paying attention. It's a practice of being brutally honest with yourself. This is satya, one of the yamas. And a yama is a restraint. It is a boundary. So the more honest you are with yourself, the more progress it is that we're going to be making on this path of life. And then also when we have this focus and we have a purpose, like for me, the purpose of yoga is, of course, to connect to myself, but the higher purpose is that I can be of good to the world. Hopefully that I can spread joy, that I can spread inspiration, that I can spread knowledge and support. That is my ultimate purpose, and not in an egotistical way, but it is in a way that really feeds my soul. And I believe also that when we have this purpose and we have this focus, it really reduces harm, which is ahimsa. And that is also another yama, that is a restraint. That is a boundary. In yoga, we are not allowed to cause harm, at least not knowingly, right? We might unknowingly do it, but just like Maya Angelou, the beautiful yogini that I always quote, she always said, when you know better, you do better. And that is what we're trying to get at here in our yoga practice, is to learn from our mistakes, to learn from our life, and learn from the situations that we get into. And I think we have so many of those moments in life to learn about ourselves. And then when we know better, then we can just do better. It is just a practice. Yoga is a practice. So what are you practicing? What are you practicing on a daily basis? Is your practice supporting you? Is it supporting you to move in the direction that it is that you want to go? Like, are you on the right train? Are you going in the right direction, or are you going in the wrong direction? I just recently read a Japanese quote that said, the longer you stay on the train in the wrong direction, the more expensive it will be to get off the train. So since I started this podcast, which was on a full moon on November 15th, which was my birthday, I have moved closer and closer to what my soul is calling me to do in this next phase of my life. And I am so excited. Like I told you in episode one of season one that I was in a dark hole, but I could see the light. And at the same time, I felt like I was the most content and happy and empowered I had ever felt in my life. And it was a lot due to the fact that I had developed a certain kind of discipline in my life. I developed this theta, this steadiness, this foundation during perimenopause. And I was just feeling like I was building strength from the strength training and using the yoga inquiry, Svadhyaya, to really go deep within myself and really do the work. Though I am whole and complete exactly the way that I am, there are certain things that I naturally do and there's other things that I naturally don't do. I have strengths and weaknesses, you know, within me. And of course, I want to improve on my strengths, but I also want to improve on my weaknesses. And I also want to let go of those things that no longer serve me. So the one area of my life that sort of took the biggest beating was my work and my career. Even though I've been nurturing membership, you know, for 3 years and I have lovely students and dedicated students in the membership, that sort of kept me alive over the last 3 years. But I didn't have the capacity really to build it much or to broaden it, you know, beyond that. So this is now that time where I have to learn a lot about how to, you know, get back my career, not in the way that it used to be, but in the new way that is going to be applicable for this stage of my life and the students and the clients and the members and the community that I want to grow going forward. So starting the podcast and basically putting myself in the flow and allowing myself to learn and to gradually grow really was so beneficial. It takes me also sometimes a long time to begin, to get started. But then once I get started, then I'm in it. Then it's about how can I be consistent now? How can I do this for a long period of time and set myself up in a way that is sustainable? So for me, having seasons, I think, is a great way for me to sustain this podcast and to then be able to do this for a longer period of time, because it does take a lot of effort. But also another thing that I'm learning is having too long of a gap in between each season, I think might not work for me as well either, because that weakness that I have, that it is harder for me to get started. So that's something that I have to strengthen and I have to learn as well. So basically, I'm just saying, yeah, well, we know better, we do better. And it's only when you're in the flow, when you put yourself in it, that you practice. And then that's really when you are learning. So season one really gave me so much clarity. And now I have like found back to my purpose for my next phase. And of course, it's what I've always done. But it's a continuation. And it is building upon what it is that I've always done, with a little bit of maybe a reframe, but maybe not as much. but I am just more and more focused on strength training and converting really all yogis who have not jumped on the strength training train yet. When I started combining strength training with yoga, and I have been doing this for a long, long time, but I published a book in the early 2000s and it wasn't popular. It was very, very unconventional. I was kind of outcasted for it. But now it's sort of like this full circle moment where more yogis are realizing that yoga alone isn't enough to maintain muscle and bone and joint health, especially going through perimenopause and postmenopause. And I've been hosting some workshops on this, and it's been incredible to support these women yogis to integrate strength training into their practice. And I'm so excited that I have another workshop coming on March the 22nd. If you haven't joined yet, please feel free to join in. But yeah, postmenopause for me has given me really a renewed sense of purpose. And it's like all the pieces are kind of coming together. Like the pieces were always there, but because during perimenopause I was in such a state of flux, which we are because of the hormones, that's what's happening. I kind of lost my brain to brain fog. And now I feel like I've gotten my brain back and it's kind of settled into the stage. And now I just fully, fully want to own it. Like my brain has rewired into kind of a new way. I've lost a few things. Some things come with me and other things are starting to emerge in a way that, you know, I didn't have capacity before. So that is very, very exciting. So I hope that any of this makes any sense. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling on a little bit here, but I'm excited and I just want to take you with me on this journey and inspire you, I hope, to really think about what does this mean for you? That's what it's about. It's not about me. This is about you. And you finding your flow and then following your own flow. So whatever works for you is what is going to work for you. I wanted to share with you a story that I learned while I was studying at the Bihar School of Yoga in 1998. This story has always stayed with me. And it's about a camel who was never actually tied up, but the camel was convinced that it was. So a camel train stopped at an oasis for the night, and the drivers, they secured all of the camels, but they realized that they were missing a hitching pin for the last camel. So instead of standing guard all night, they pretended to tie the camel up. And to tie the camel up, they mimicked and went through all of the usual motions that they would do to tie up a camel. So the camel believed that it was secured and it stayed put all night. Then the next morning, all the camels were untied and ready to go, except for this one camel. The untied camel refused to move because it believed that it was still bound. And it was only after one of the drivers went through the motions of untying the camel that the camel believed that it was finally free. It stood up and walked away. So how does this relate to midlife or any phase that we're in? We're basically often that camel. We think that we are bound when in reality we are already free. We are free to own our strength. We are free to age however it is that we want. We are free to take care of ourselves in a way that feels right. We are free to do it for ourselves, for the benefit of all. We all have these outdated narratives within us about aging, about external expectations. We think, I'm too old to get strong. This is just how my body is now, right? I should just accept the changes instead of trying to work against them. But what if those beliefs aren't true? What if we've just been trained to think that way? So this is really about unhitching yourself. And we each have to do this. This is our practice. And I just find that in strength training, it's such a wonderful practice to move beyond these limiting beliefs that we have, right? We all have this resistance within us. We're all going to come against that. But why should I lift heavy? But why wouldn't you want to if you worked at it gradually, right? You wouldn't want to just stay with 10 pounds or 10 kilos forever. That wouldn't satisfy you, right? In the same way as if you started running, you wouldn't say, oh, I'm just going to walk a mile. I would never walk 2 miles. I would never walk 5 miles. Now, God forbid I ever walked 10 miles, right? You would never say that to yourself. And even if you didn't believe that you could walk 10 miles, you would gradually put yourself in training so that one day you could be able to walk 10 miles or you wanted to do a really, really strong hike, right? But somehow when it comes to strength, with physical strength, I've noticed this within myself. I've noticed this with other women and not so much with men, but particularly women. We are not trained in this way. So there's a lot of limiting beliefs when it comes to it. And then when we allow ourselves to then again work our way through it, then we come to the other side and say, wow, I was only able to lift 5 kilos or 5 pounds before, and now I'm lifting 10 kilos, 10 pounds, whatever the weight is where you are. I wonder, will I ever one day be able to lift 20 pounds, 20 kilos? You know what? I'm going to keep that open and work towards it. And that's the mindset that I am very interested in. Don't stop yourself. Don't block yourself before you're willing to try to see if it could happen. It might not happen, and that's okay. But don't stop yourself before you know for sure. And, you know, feeling good is what it's about. It's not about proving anything to anybody. It's more about proving to yourself more than anything. I don't care what anyone thinks about whether I can do a pull-up or not. It was for me to prove it to myself that I could do something that was really, really challenging, that it had nothing to do with my white privilege. Because oftentimes that has been reality. I have gotten a lot of opportunity because of the way that I look, the things that I say, my white privilege. That is just true. But nothing in getting a pull-up had ever to do with my white privilege. It just had to do with me being able to put in the work for a long period of time in order to get that one pull-up. And that really was so transformational for me. So these are like all the kind of ways that we untie ourselves from this imaginary hitching pin. You're not bound. You're not stuck. You just have to realize that you are free. You are free to do whatever it is that you want, and you're also free to do whatever it is that you don't want. Just be clear about it and don't be spinning around in this, I want this, but not being willing to work for it. Don't say that you want to get strong if you're not willing to work for getting strong. Because if you want to get strong, if you want to build muscle and you want to take care of your bones, it is going to require that you add a little bit of weight as you go along, as you get stronger. And that could be over a 3-year span, 5-year span. We're not putting a limit on the time frame. It's just about staying with it. So that was a little bit of tough love from me to you. So this season is really packed with conversations that I hope will inspire you to really step into your power, to take care of yourself, and to really own this phase of your life. Now, I can't empower you. You are the only one that has that power to empower you, right? You have to become clear about what your vision for yourself is and gradually develop the discipline, the routines, the plan, how you're going to implement it, what you're going to do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis in order to get there, and not stop yourself before you've even tried. So I can only share the information that I think is going to support you, but ultimately you are the one that has to show up, right? And this is what's become just so apparent to me. You know what? I'm not going to chase you. I'm not going to chase anyone to do anything. I just want to be here as an anchor in some way that if you need information, if you need a question answered, I want to be here to give the best advice that I can possibly give from a scientific perspective or from my own anecdotal evidence. And then it's up to you to whether you want to listen and whether you want to try to apply it for yourself or not. So I'm very detached when it comes to that. And for me, this has become the ultimate freedom, that I stay in my own lane, and I would just like nothing more to see you thrive in your life, but I have no control over you. And also I have no interest in controlling you. Honestly, I have enough with myself. So in this regard, you know, what my definition of a go-a-flower is, and this was a term that we created on YouTube over a decade ago, that someone who practices with me is a go-a-flower. And a go-a-flower is someone who does go-a-flow on the mat, but follows their own flow off of the mat. And to me, this holds even stronger right now. It's your life, not mine. You know, it's like I can bring the camel to the water and it's up to the camel to drink it. So I'm just here to support in whichever way I can. So I am clear about where my train is going, and anyone who wants to jump on can, but I'm not going to drag anyone on. That is what I mean about agency and about responsibility and about feeling empowered. Empower yourself. I recently saw a post from a woman in midlife expressing feelings of inadequacy and frustration, and always feeling like she was chasing this unattainable standard, like a moving goalpost that she could never quite reach. And she reminded herself and others that fitness should be about feeling good and not proving something. So while she loves being in shape, she also realized she was seeking validation when there was no real external pressure to do so. So I wrote her back, and this is what I wrote. It's really great that you're working on letting go of the need for validation and staying clear on your personal motivations. It sounds like there is an internal struggle with looking outward for confirmation. But I love the reminder to focus on what truly feels good for you. Keep tuning in to what you want, your own goals, and any limiting beliefs that might be holding you back. You're already enough just as you are. This is exactly why I say follow your own flow. This phase of life is about unlearning and also relearning, like really unlearning external expectations and turning into what truly is right for you. Like, I feel that midlife and beyond really forces us to take ownership of our body, of our choices, of our wellness, of our well-being. And it can be very uncomfortable. It can be very challenging. But that's where the real transformation happens. When you know what is right for you and you've kind of found your own formula, I think that is truly where the freedom is at. And it's kind of like the camel believed that it was tied up, but it was free all along. Like, you might feel like you don't have any choices, but really when you look at it, you have a lot of choices. It's just about being willing to try. It's a little bit of trial and error here to find what works for you. So I highly recommend practice, 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 and you will follow your own flow. So I hope that this resonates with you. It was a little bit of a long one, but let's take this journey together. Now, feel free to join my membership if you are inclined to want to do that. You can also sign up for my strength training workshops. I also have a weekly newsletter that is called Notes of News and Inspiration. You can sign up for that. And let's practice feeling empowered as we're aging. It takes effort, yes, but it's about this consistent effort and being on the right train. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, take very good care.